Look in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Look in verse 15. Very familiar scripture tonight. And he said unto them. Now here Jesus is talking. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. If I could get you kids or young folk that have graduated and are graduating to understand that tonight, life does not consist of what you have. It's not in possessions tonight, but it's in who possesses you. Amen. And that's what it's about. Verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, I ask you to help us now for just a little while. Strengthen us while we might preach. Give us the words that these dear folk need to hear tonight. Anoint us afresh from heaven and touch us and with the Holy Spirit of God. We certainly need you tonight to come by. And Lord, you know my heart. I want to be very timely tonight. God, we really do just want to say what needs to be said and said I am. And Lord, we want to tell you again that we love you and thank you for heaven that you give us and we can go to one day. Save somebody here tonight that might be lost for these things. In Jesus' sweet, precious name, we do ask and pray. Amen. And amen. In this passage of Scripture right here, if you look toward the end of it in verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool. And I begin to consider about the fool. Do you know that the Bible has a lot to say about a fool? 108 times that word is mentioned in 104 verses. And I think God would want us to understand something about a fool. Now tonight a fool is first of all one who is destitute of reason. One who cannot reason. Friend, let me say right here that spiritually that this man was a fool. He didn't know how to reason spiritually. Listen, there were some spiritual things, if you let me use that word, things that ought to happen right here, but he didn't see them. It's one who is deficient of intellect. In the scripture, it is one who is depraved and wicked. And it also refers sometimes to a weak Christian and the one who is full of unbelief. You remember when Jesus come out there, I believe it's in Luke 24, and he's on the road to Emmaus, and he's got those disciples there. Remember, they were disciples, but he said, all fools and slow of heart to believe that which the prophets have spoken. And so right here, God calls him a fool. Now the very first mention of the word fool we find when Saul is talking to David. David has come and stole his spear. He's took it away from him, and they're talking from one mountainside to another mountainside. And here's what Saul said. He said, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. Now the fool will err every time. A fool is destitute of truth. He is destitute of reason. And he cannot think in his own. Now listen, there's been many times over the years that I have done foolish things and acted foolishly. But I'm glad that I got saved. Amen. And God forgave me of my sins. Four things I want to look at tonight. And then we'll let Brother Souls become. But first of all, I want you to see his possessions. I want you to look at what happens right here. Jesus in verse 15 is talking about abundance. And in verse 16 it said the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. So we see that he's already got riches. We see that he is already established and got riches in his life. And he has all kinds of possessions. Now right here the Lord is dealing with covetousness. What is covetousness, preacher? The Lord told us in Exodus 20, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. You remember what got Achan in trouble in Joshua chapter 7? He said, I saw them. Listen, he said, when I saw among the goodly Babylon's garments, he said, what then? I coveted them. Listen at me now. Are we looking? I'm up here, by the way. Hello. Look, covetousness is what's going to get you in trouble if you ain't careful. Wanting stuff. Gotta have. Hey, listen, I've learned that sometimes the less we've got, the better off we're doing. Amen. I'll just be honest with you. Some of you, if you ain't careful, and boy, we're going to get in your pocketbook here in a minute. At least if you ain't careful, you're going to end up in upside down, spending more than what everything you've got's worth. And at the end of the day, you ain't got nothing worth much, and still ain't done nothing for God. Amen. Listen, he said right here at the very end, he said, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. He had all kinds of possessions. He had all kinds of properties. He had everything to keep him out of church, but nothing, and that in his heart, to get him to heaven. Amen. I'm determined there's a lot of folk got a lot of possessions, but they're missing what they have to have on the inside. Hey, I'm glad I've got more than a profession tonight. I've got a possession of the Holy Spirit back on the inside. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. I'm doing all right tonight, ain't I? Amen. Amen. Listen, I'm glad it's more than a profession, but it's a possession. He had all kinds of things. He had all kinds. You know, the Bible, or the four Gospels, only talks about three rich men. And all of them turned out not so good. I remember the first message I ever preached, and it was 5 minutes, and y'all didn't think I could do that. You know, the rich young ruler, he went over to Jesus. And remember, when he left sad because he had so much. The Lord said, he said, what must I do to have eternal life? And the Lord told him to keep the law and to keep the commandments. He said, all that I've done since my youth, that was a lie anyway. But nonetheless, Jesus said, thou lackest one thing, go sell what thou hast and give to the poor and come and follow me. And thou shalt have great riches. Can I tell you tonight, there's nothing wrong with having stuff. As long as stuff don't have you. Right here, I believe stuff had him. Don't let stuff have you tonight. Don't let your job have you tonight. Don't let your bank account have you tonight. I know we got to have it to make the world go around. I understand that tonight. But listen, the book of Proverbs said, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. It's funny how riches can just fly away. You can have $1 million today and be broke tomorrow. All you got to do is get cancer and then watch what happens. Amen? Amen. I remember years ago when I was working on hot tubs. I remember when I was working on spas and hot tubs, I went over here in the middle of Athens and met a man who owned a very well-known business downtown. As a matter of fact, it was Sparkles. And I remember talking to him. I went in and worked on his hot tub and I remember him telling me that his wife had cancer and they didn't have no insurance. And see, all that money that he had made, you see, was just being spent on them treatments. Just a little here and a little there, a lot here and a lot there. Hey, I'm going to tell you, you may lay it up for later, but it has a way of sometimes getting away from you when you ain't rich toward God. I don't know that gentleman's, I don't know his relationship toward God, but I do know this, he was spending the money out. Why, preacher? Because of health. You see, it got away. It got away. Listen, he had everything. I mean, he had everything. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He had all kinds of barns. He had everything that he could imagine. And listen, if you want to know about riches, go over to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, and you'll find out about riches and what it does. It'll pierce you and it'll get you. But listen, I want you to look. He had a plan, didn't he? Not only did he have possessions, but he had a plan. He thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to dispose my fruits." He said, "This will I do." He had a plan. He said, now listen, nowhere in this plan did it include God. Did you catch that? Nowhere inside these Hamiltonians tonight, whatever you set out to do, if God blesses you with something, you ought to figure out where you can include God at.
Amen.
In that plan. As a matter of fact, why don't you just start praying and saying, "God, where can I be included in your plan?" Amen. I mean, how this be, Lord, what would you want me to do with all these things, all this money? Wouldn't that be good if God just shared money and just, I'll never forget when, you remember when Y2K was coming? You remember that? Boy, I mean, the computers that we had wasn't going to be able to count from zero to one. I mean, that's the way it was going to be. And I remember Brother Buster Seaton coming to Lee's Chapel before that happened. And I'll never forget him making that statement when he was preaching. If God wanted to rain $10 bills down from heaven, he'd make it rain $10 bills down from heaven. Amen. I ain't never forgot that. Amen. Hey, God will supply your need. Quit worrying about the possessions, and God will take care of it. Amen. But he had a plan, you see. He had a plan. His plan was to pull down his barns and build greater. There's a lot of folk got a plan on what they're going to do in this. Are you listening to me? In this world, but their plan is wrong. That's why the Bible said in Matthew 7, "Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be that go in there, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Hey, listen. God's got a plan for your life. It starts out being saved. Then it's following Him and doing what He wants you to do. And I've learned, as long as we're doing that, God will take care of us.
Amen.
God will handle it. He will supply. He will. Philippians 4 said, "But my God shall supply all you need according to His riches in glory." Don't ever leave God out of your plan. Hey, there's a lot of folk out here got a plan tonight. It's a godless plan.
Yeah.
God wasn't in His plan. Foolish said in his heart that there is no God. I don't know if he went to church on Sunday and put in the offering plate what he was supposed to, but I do know this, that if you look at that, I want you to look back at that passage, the text scripture. I've got all this underlined in my Bible. If you go back and you look, and it says, "And he thought within himself." He and himself, and he said, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." It's all about him. Did you catch that? He said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and will build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, eyes and mine, and mine."
Right.
It ain't eyes and mine, and mine. It's his tonight. Hey, listen, he is the owner of the cattle of the thousand hills tonight. He owns them all, don't he? The Bible said that the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God, and God is not in all his thoughts. It's a godless plan. You can't get to heaven without Jesus tonight. Don't miss Jesus. The most important person you could ever meet in your life is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." But I want you to look at something. Not only was it a godless plan, but it was a plan that left out others. Now, why would he have to tear his barns down to be greater? Why couldn't he just fill up what barns he had and give away what was left over? You ever think about that? Well, think about that for just a minute. You say, "Well, preacher, it's mine." No, it ain't yours. God gave it to you to be a steward over it. Right? I don't think he considered the missions projects at church. Did he go out and seek the poor? You know, the Bible said, "Let him that stole steal no more, that he may be able to work how to give to him that what needeth."
I'm just saying, God expects some things out of us when He's blessed us with some stuff. God expects you to give, friend. I'll just be honest tonight. Hey, listen, why you think that when the Lord tells the law over there, He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength." This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." There's none other commandment greater than these. He had a plan. I think some of you may be sitting in here with a plan. Just make sure it's God's plan.
You're right.
I just want to make sure it's God's plan in my life. But He made a presumption, didn't He? He made a presumption. He said, "I'll pull them down." He said, "I'll pull them down and I'll build greater ones." But here was His presumption. "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." We'll just have a good time. I've got all that I need. I've got it stored away in the bank over here. He thought that He had it made. He thought He had it made with possessions. He thought that He had it made with ease and merriment. He thought that He had it made with time. How do you know? He said, "Because I've got goods laid up for many years." Many years. He said, "I've got it made. I've got everything that I need." Man, at least I know some of you are retired. Some's living on a pension. Some's living on 401k. And some's living on what you've done and all those things. And that's great. But just don't always assume that it's going to be there. My grandmother's 91, and I know she ain't going to, but she says that she tells my daddy sometimes she's afraid that her money's going to run out. She's going to outlive her money, you know. You know what? She's been retired since she was, well, for years she's been retired. But He made a presumption. He presumed that He had enough. He presumed that He was going to have a good time. And He presumed that He was going to be here for a long time. None of that stuff can be proved. What do you mean? Well, like I said, riches have a way of making wings and flying away. He said what? He said, "Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." How can He even know that? What do you mean? What did I tell you a few minutes ago? Your health is here today and gone tomorrow. But then He said this, that "I've laid it up for many years." You know, there's no guarantee of money, there's no guarantee of health, and there's no guarantee of life. And you'll see this in those next to last verse. "But God said unto him, Thou fool." Thou fool. Remember what Saul said to David? He said, "I played the fool and I've erred." By the time we got to this position right here in this man's life, it's too late. God called him a fool. He had thought that stuff was his. He thought it was his. He could do with it as he pleased and as he wanted to do, and all stored up, and God come by, and the promise of God came to pass. By the way, He said, "This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" Just like that. Death is that fast, ain't it?
Amen.
And you know, no matter what you've got sitting in the bank or what you've got in your home or out there in the garage or any of those things, that stuff don't matter.
Right.
It's all going to burn up. It's not going to go with you. I remember years ago, I preached that message on your hearse ain't going to pull a U-Haul.
Right.
Because you ain't going to take it. You know, I believe it was Timothy said, 1 Timothy 6, that we come into this world with nothing and we're going to go out with nothing. So the promise of God come true that night. I'll guarantee you that. God called him and he said, "Thou fool. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Can I ask you something tonight? You reckon you'll die as a fool? Now, I know most of you tonight. I do. I hope that I do. And I hope that you wouldn't think that way. And I hope that as these kids, I don't want to use the word kids, as these young adults is going to go out and have started and going to start their life into the world, that possessions is not what it's all about. It's being rich toward God.
Amen.
You know, the Bible talks about in the book of Matthew, is it Matthew 6? He says, for wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's not about money. Even though we got to have, and some people say, well, preacher, I wish I had, you know, I wish I had that problem, you know, to contend with. You ever seen people that's really had money and didn't know God? I have. I've seen folk that have money and know God. And money don't bother them. And I think that's why the Lord give it to them.
Amen.
It's just, you know, as to where we might deal with something with one or two zeros, they know how to deal with five and six zeros.
Amen.
After the comma. They know how to deal with it. You say, I'd like to have that problem, would you? Might take you away from God.
Right.
I mean, I'm just being honest tonight. This man right here had more than what he knew to do with, and he thought that he had it made. He thought that he was living on easy street. But you know what? Hebrews 9:27 came true. For it is appointed unto men wants to die, and after this the judgment. What is your life? It's even vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. He had great plans. He had it all. But when God come calling that night, did he have him in his heart? God called you tonight. Is he in your heart? That's what matters.
Amen.
All this other stuff out here don't matter.
Amen.
It don't matter. Now listen, Lord knows how I am. I don't want to go home and my house be laying on the ground where it burn up.
Right.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to go through that. And some of y'all may have went through that. But I'm going to tell you tonight, if it does, and God forbid it, but if it does, it's just stuff. It's just stuff. What matters is what's in the heart. What matters is how you're going to meet God.
Try.
Don't get your heart laid up on stuff. Get it laid up on heaven and on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Let's bow our heads tonight.